Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Father, we thank you so much for your presence here today. And Lord, you are Lord, you are God, you are King, you are Creator of heaven and earth. You're an awesome God, but we thank you that we can call you Father if you are our Father. Lord, you want to be our Father. If we have chosen to follow Jesus and accept your gift of salvation, you are our Father. And we thank you that we can call you Father today. Today, Lord, we ask that you speak to us. Father, today, my message, I believe, is more a message of encouragement, although it certainly can challenge us. So I pray that both those things would be true. I pray that we'd be encouraged because of your love for us, our Heavenly Father, your love and your affirmation for us, Lord. May it build us up. May it strengthen us, Lord God, especially for those who may be here today that they didn't receive that from their earthly father. But Father, I pray it would also challenge us and encourage us to be more like you in all of our relationships. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll be looking at Mark chapter 1 in just a moment. Today is Father's Day. And one thing's for sure, we've all had a father. Now, there may be various aspects to our experience of our relationship with our father. For many in this room, your father has already passed away. They're no longer in this world. For some in this room, like myself, your father's still alive, but they live way far away. For some of your father may actually be right here in the room with you. Some people don't even know their father. They never had the privilege of having that relationship. And as I mentioned in my prayer, some perhaps did not have a good experience with their father. And I just want to say, I am so sorry if that is an aspect of your life. And that can cause a lot of pain, and I understand that. And I pray for God's blessing on you today, because as you have a relationship with God, you have a heavenly Father who is all those things that perhaps your earthly father was not. In fact, many times when we don't experience what we should experience with our earthly father, it just lets us know that there is an ideal out there that should be true. And thank God that we can experience that through Jesus Christ with our heavenly Father. So wherever you are in your relationship with your earthly father, or whatever memories you have, I hope that if they're good, you can rejoice in that today and celebrate in that today. And if they're still around and you can reach them, to express that to them. But if they're not so good, if you can put those aside and focus instead on your heavenly father, the one who is the ultimate father, everything that a father should be and can be. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Now, on Father's Day, we often say nice things to our fathers. Maybe in a card. I know it's a little old school. So maybe in an email or a text or on Facebook or through Skype or whatever it is, over the phone. I know I'll be calling my dad this afternoon, perhaps in person. But I want to reverse that just for a moment to kind of get us into this text today. Instead of the good things or whatever you might say to your father, what would you like your father to say to you? If you could hear anything come from your father's lips, I'm not talking about your heavenly father now, I'm talking about your earthly father, what would you like to hear? Maybe some of you would like to hear, hey, here's the keys to my new car. Go out and have a good time. How many of you would like to hear your father say, here's my credit card. Go out and have some fun. Some of those things that fathers never say, right? There may be a number of things that would come to mind when we think, what would I like to hear my father say? But I think that when I get into our passage today, your thoughts may be running along the same lines of what we're going to look at from God's Word, but if they're not, you might decide to change your mind. You know, our Father's words have tremendous influence over us. And that's a challenge to us as men. If you have children, or even if you don't have physical children, God would love for you to have some spiritual children. Some young men and young women that you are having an influence in their lives. But our Father's words have tremendous influence over us, so that is a challenge. It is a responsibility, but it's also a great privilege. Our Father's words can have a good influence and an impact, or a bad one. Some of your best memories may go back to things that you were told by your father. Some of your worst memories, and we don't want to dwell on those, may have something to do with something your father said to you. Today, the title of my message is The Father's Declaration. Now, I'm talking about now God, our Heavenly Father. God, the Father's Declaration. But I want to challenge you men today to take a look at our Heavenly Father's Declaration and see how that might apply to you as a father. But those of you women and young people that are here today, you're not fathers or never will be fathers or aren't fathers yet. I want to challenge you because this declaration can be applied to every relationship that we have. We're just focusing on fathers because today is Father's Day. The background to our text in Mark chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 9 through 11. This is the story of Jesus' life. And Mark has the shortest account of that. He totally skips over when Jesus was born and grew up and all that kind of stuff. So by the time we get to the 9th verse in Mark chapter 1, Jesus has already been born and all the supernatural, miraculous things that accompanied that and is part of that story. He's had his childhood. He's appeared in the temple at age 12 and confounded the religious leaders. He's worked as a carpenter. And he's about 30 years old now. And we don't know much about his life before this, except for his birth and that little tiny story about when he was 12. And we just believe that the scripture seems to indicate he was at home. Joseph's not really mentioned much after he was Jesus was the age of 12. So many Bible scholars believe he probably died. And Jesus was the oldest son. And so he was probably taking care of his mother and helping her with the other children. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus, as God, came to fulfill God's plan, to establish God's kingdom, and to purchase the price of our salvation through His death upon the cross. And He had a ministry to fulfill. So at the age of 30, it was time for Him to begin His ministry. And so He goes to where John the Baptist is preaching repentance. Where John the Baptist is preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. And not in these particular words, but basically saying the Messiah is coming. And we need to be ready for Him. We need to be ready for God's kingdom to break into our world. And the way we need to be ready is we need to repent of our sins. And people were repenting. They were excited. They had been waiting for the Messiah for a long time. And as a sign of their repentance, John was baptizing people. Not quite exactly the same as the baptism that we go through as believers. There's some similarities because it indicates repentance and that kind of thing. But when John was baptizing people, it was a sign that these people had repented of their sins and they were going under the water and coming back up as a symbol of the fact that God had washed their sins away. That leads us up to where we are. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. In those days, the days when John was baptizing, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And there we have the Father's declaration. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. If you want to do more study, this story is also found in Matthew 3 and Luke 3 with a couple other details that are tossed in there. I want to deal with two questions that may be raised in our minds before I jump into this text, and I'm just going to deal with them very, very quickly. The first one is, why was Jesus baptized? If John was baptizing people to symbolize that they had repented of their sins and that God had washed their sins away, why was Jesus baptized? He never sinned. He was God in the flesh. In fact, John the Baptist even had a problem with this. It doesn't say so in Mark. But when you read the account, I think it's in Matthew 3, John says, I don't need to baptize you. You don't need what I have. I need what you have. Because John had been preaching that when this Messiah came, when this Lamb of God came, He would baptize people with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Or with the Holy Spirit and fire. And John says, no, I don't need to baptize you. I need what you have to give to me. And at that point, Jesus says, no, you go ahead and baptize me because it is to fulfill all righteousness. Now, it is not tremendously 100% clear exactly what Jesus meant by that and why John was to baptize him. But some of the best ideas and suggestions are these, that Jesus said, I want to be baptized because He came to identify with sinful man. So that on the cross, He took on their sins and paid the price for all sins. He also was probably baptized to help show that John the Baptist's ministry was valid. That he truly had been sent from God. And that then later when he presented himself to the people, because John would point him out and said, behold the Lamb of God. That people would know that Jesus supported what John the Baptist had come to say and to do. It was also probably to be an example to us. As he would later say, when you're going to follow me, I want you to be baptized. It's an act of public declaration that you're following me. And so he did it. To be a good example, but also to be a symbol of His coming death and resurrection. All those are possible reasons as to why Jesus was baptized on that day. And you may know of a couple of others. But Jesus was baptized that day. And then God spoke from heaven and made this declaration that we're getting ready to dig into. But why did God make this declaration at this time? That's a little more obvious. God was basically saying from heaven and confirming that Jesus Christ is the one who had been prophesied about and He had come to fulfill God's plan and they better pay attention to Him. To be more specific, the statement, the declaration that God made actually refers to two scriptures in the Old Testament that were prophecies of the Messiah. That first part when He says, "This is My beloved Son." The Jewish people that had gathered there, they would immediately recognize that it's a reference back to Psalm 2. You can read that later. But when you read Psalm 2, it's all about how God was going to send His Son whom He loved. And He was going to be the King. He was going to be the Messiah. He was going to rule and reign and He was going to accomplish God's purpose. And the second part of it, He says, that one that I dearly love. Was a reference back to, and the Jewish people would know this, to Isaiah 42, where there was a prophecy about the servant Messiah who would come and would suffer and die for God's people. He would serve God while dying for the people's sins. So in this short declaration, when God said, "You are My beloved Son, with You I am well pleased," for those who were standing on the bank, those who heard that voice, they would know that God was announcing that Jesus was the Messiah, His servant who would suffer and die, and the King who would reign forever. They would understand that Jesus was God's Son come to earth as the promised one to fulfill prophecy and bring salvation to those who believe. Now, beyond that, I think there's another reason that God said this at this time. I believe that God said this and made this declaration at this time to encourage Jesus, as Jesus was beginning His ministry. You might say, did Jesus need encouragement? He was God. Yes, Jesus was, always has been, and always will be, and has never stopped being God. But when He came to earth, He also became 100% man, 100% God, and 100% man. And I believe that as a man, the Bible says that Jesus experienced everything we experienced, other than the fact that He never gave in to temptation and He never sinned. So I believe that even though He was God, Jesus could benefit from encouragement. And could benefit from encouragement from His Father. At specific moments in His life, and I think that right now is so key because He's getting ready to launch His ministry and it's going to start with 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. So God made this declaration to encourage His sons. Now let's dig into this declaration. What is it that God was communicating to Jesus Christ and that we can benefit from to learn that we need to communicate this to our loved ones? And in particular today, fathers, this is what we need to communicate to our children. And this is a heavenly father to Jesus. I'm talking to earthly fathers because this is Father's Day, but this is true for mothers also. And for grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers, whatever you're called, because I'm not a grandfather, I'm a papa. And can I be honest with you, it doesn't take much creativity to realize that these are things that we need to be speaking to all the people of significance in our lives. And it's very, very crucial as we offer the word of life to people that don't even know the Lord. What is it that God communicated in this declaration? The first thing that God communicated was acceptance. Acceptance. He was saying to Jesus, "You are mine. You are mine." He said, "You are my son." The English Standard Version that I read from says, "You are my beloved son." There's a footnote there, and the original Greek literally says, "As for you, you are my son." And then he talks about the love part. We'll get to that in a minute. But he says, "As for you, you are my son." God claimed him. God said, "You are mine." Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, if you're a parent, that your kids have done or said something and you were tempted to say, whether you did or not, "They're not my kids." How many of you honest to say sometime your kid had ever said or done something that you felt like saying that whether you said it or not? Oh, come on. I know there's more of you out there than that. You're just being lazy or you don't want to admit. Okay, sure. That's just part of being human, isn't it? Hopefully you didn't really mean that, even if you did say it. But how many of you have had opportunities when your children did something or said something, or they were just with you and you were meeting someone that you knew and they didn't, and you said, "That's my son. That's my daughter." Hopefully you experienced that from your parents, from your father. "That's my son." You know, just a couple of weeks ago, you may remember, if this is your church, that your home church, that we were gone, we were on vacation, we'd gone up north to Cincinnati to a family reunion, and we're with my parents and a bunch of other family, and this has been true whenever I've gone home or whatever, but whenever we go somewhere and my parents see someone, they meet someone that has not yet met me or my wife, the first thing that comes from my dad's mouth, or the first thing that comes from my mom's mouth, is, "This is my son." For me, it happens to be, "This is my oldest son and his wife Jan." And it's not just an introduction. It is that. But I can tell from the way they say it that our relationship's important. And they're not just admitting or owning up to the fact that I'm their son, but that they're glad I'm their son. Can I tell you? I'll be honest, I don't really have to explain it to you because you know how much that means to you. And if you didn't experience, you know how much that would have meant to you. And that should tell us how much it means to our children and our grandchildren that we let them know that they are ours and we are glad that they are ours. Just as God declared this over His Son, we need to declare it over our kids and our grandkids. "You are mine and I am glad you are mine." It doesn't mean you like everything they do. It doesn't mean you like everything they say. It doesn't mean that you can approve of everything that's going on in their life. But they are your child. They are your grandchild. And you are glad that they are. My wife and I have kind of this little funny thing that we do. And maybe you do too. I don't think it's original with us. But, you know, I have this habit. You maybe have never noticed it. If I tell corny jokes sometimes, you know, that kind of stuff. And we'll be having a conversation or whatever, and I'll just say something silly or whatever, and she'll say, "You know what, you're a mess." But she never stops there. She says, "You're a mess, but you're my mess." Yeah, that means so much to me. She'll claim me even though I'm a mess. You know, that may be the way we have to approach our kids. I don't know. "You're a mess, but you're my mess. You're my mess." Acceptance. Acceptance. And that acceptance is so important, not so much when everything's going good and everything's going right and they do everything right. That acceptance is so important when they do blow it. To know that, you know what, you didn't do it right. You did mess it up. You did disobey. But you're still mine. And I'm still glad you're mine. That's the way our Heavenly Father treats us. That's part of His declaration toward us, if He is our Heavenly Father. Acceptance. You're mine. You're mine. Your children want to know that you're proud to have them as your son or your daughter. You need to tell them, I am so glad that you are mine. I'm so glad that you're my son. I'm so glad that you're my daughter. You say, well, what if I'm not glad? You need to find something to be glad about. I know there are struggles sometimes. There are sometimes relationships between parents and their children that have really gone through hard times for whoever's, for whatever reason and whoever's fault, and they're very rocky. Sometimes there's alienation. Can I tell you, we need to look for reasons to be glad. Find something to be glad about. Acceptance, you are mine. The first part of God's declaration. The second part of God's declaration, what is it that God is communicating besides acceptance? The second one is love. Love. He's telling Jesus, I love you. You are my son whom I love. Some translations say, like I said, the English Standard Version says, you are my beloved son. Again, as we go back to the original language, it is literally, as for you, you are my son, the beloved one. Our children need to know that we love them. You would think that we wouldn't have to be told that. Again, because of our own experience, how much those expressions of love, whether it's from our father, our mother, or someone else, how significant they are to us. We need to make sure that we express our love. Again, talking to fathers, to their children, but to all those of significance in our lives around us. Over the years, my wife and I have had the privilege of working with and knowing and loving many, 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 many young people. And we, like many of you, have gotten old enough that those young people aren't so young anymore from way back in the day. But I can't tell you how many times our hearts have been broken, because it's happened so many times for young people to tell us, my father has never told me he loves me. Even harder, a young man that was kicked out of his home because his stepfather didn't like him, and we went to pick him up in the middle of the night. And he said, my mother has never told me she loves me. How much that expression of love means. We all know, because we desire it. And when we receive it, how much it means to us. We need to communicate our love to our children. And again, not just to our children, but to all those who are significant in our lives. We don't need to be like that man that after 35 years of marriage, his wife says, why don't you ever tell me you love me? And he says, I told you on the day we got married and I haven't changed my mind. If I do, I'll let you know. So I show my love. I work hard. I provide for the family. I do this. I do that. I buy them this. All those are fine, but they need to hear it come from your lips. Sometimes men struggle more with this than anybody else. I think it's a sign of weakness. Men should be strong. Can I tell you, it takes a strong man to say, I love you. God calls us to be leaders in our homes, in the workplace, in the church. It takes real strong men to be loving and to communicate that love. I've shared this before. I don't know why my dad stopped. Maybe he only stopped with me. But as of a couple of years ago, my dad, every time I'd talk to him, when we get done at the end of the conversation, he'd say, by the way, you know you're my favorite. He'd tell me that every single time. Whenever he talked to my wife, he'd tell her the same thing. I found out from my brothers, I got three brothers and a sister, that whenever he talked to them, he told them the same thing too. And now that I think about it, now that he doesn't tell me I'm his favorite, it makes me wonder. Maybe he's telling all them and not me. No, I don't think that's so. What was he trying to communicate? He said, I love you. I'm glad you're my son. I'm proud of you. You're my favorite. At this moment, I'm talking to you. You're my favorite. We need to communicate our love. We need to tell them. We need to show them. Yes, it's great to be a good provider. It's great to do things and sometimes to buy things. We've got to be careful about that. But you know, the best way to show your love to those you love, and again, we're talking fathers to children, is to spend time with them. I know it doesn't make any logical sense, but it's true. It's not original with me, but the way a child spells love is T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E, spending time with them. Again, referring back to a couple weeks ago, we went to the family reunion and had a wonderful time visiting with family. And this happened over and over again, but there's one night in particular that my brother, the one that's just under me, I'm the oldest, he's the second oldest, he came over with his wife, and we just sat in the living room, and we talked. And it very quickly got into memories. And we were talking about things from when we were growing up. You've been in a situation like that before. And he started talking about things I'd forgotten about. Not literally, but I hadn't thought about it for so long. So, oh yeah, I remember that. And I begin to talk about some things. Like, oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I remember that. But can I tell you that in most of those memories, my dad was there. We talked about going on family campouts. We talked about being involved in Boy Scouts. We happened to be involved. And my dad was there. We talked about so many things, and my dad was always there. Either he was actually in the story because he was there, or his influence was there. Now, this is not meant at all to try to make anybody feel guilty if you've not been that kind of a father up to this point or whatever, because there's always time to change. But we need to let our children know that we love them. We need to communicate that. The third thing that God communicated in this declaration besides acceptance and love is value. He said, you are valuable. He said, you are my beloved son. You are the son I love with whom I am well pleased. God told Jesus that he took delight in him. He took pleasure in him. He was satisfied in Jesus, his son. Now, that's easy for Jesus because Jesus was perfect. You know, if only we had perfect children, right? But you know what? You don't have any right really to say that unless you are a perfect child. How many of you are perfect children? I'm not putting my hand up because I was. I just wanted to see if God would send lightning down, you know, if anybody raised their hand. You're valuable. We need to let our children, our grandchildren, those around us know how valuable they are to us. And can I tell you, we got an extra thing there. We need to let them know how valuable they are to God. That's part of the legacy that we need to pass on to our children. You know, all these things, we need to let them know, you are mine and I'm glad you are. I love you and you are valuable to me. But even more important is that God loves you. And you are His, you can be His child. And if they are, you are His child. And you are valuable to Him. Can I tell you that so many problems in our culture come from problems within the home, and many of the problems within the home come from the fact that these things are not being expressed within the family. You're mine. We're together. We're a family, and I'm glad we are, and we love each other, and we value each other. Listen, don't wait for them to be perfect to let them know that they're valuable to you. God doesn't wait till we're perfect to let us know that we're valuable to Him. Look for the good. Because you might say, man, there's just so much that's not right. Look for the good to commend them for. But can I encourage you, don't let it just be superficial. Tell your daughter she's pretty. Tell your daughter she's beautiful. Tell your son he's strong and he's a great athlete. Tell your children they're smart. Now, don't lie to them. But tell them all those things. But let them know that you love them and you're glad they're your child and you value them. But not just because they're pretty. Not just because they're beautiful. Not just because they're a great athlete. Not just because they're smart. But because they're your child. Because they're yours. And you love them for who they are, not just what they do or what they can do or what they will do or what they have done. They're valuable. Now, I'm not saying you should stop correcting them and instructing them. No, that's one of the greatest responsibilities we as parents have, is to train our children in godly ways and in worldly ways. Not to make them worldly, but I'm talking about in things that have to do with the world. Don't stop disciplining them. If you don't discipline correctly, you need to start disciplining. If you're not sure how to go about that, talk to me. I'll steer you the right direction, okay? But sometimes we can find ourselves falling into the trap of focusing so much on the negative and pulling back on the positive. Now again, this is the declaration that God made to His Son, Jesus Christ. You're mine. I love you. You are valuable. And I've mentioned all along that that needs to be an example to us. And I've been trying to emphasize we need to communicate this as fathers to our children and our grandchildren and mothers too. And to be honest with you, men, we need to communicate this to our wives. You're mine. Not in some kind of possessive stranglehold like, you better not step out of line. You're mine. But you are mine, and I'm so glad you are, and I love you, and I value you. And women, you need to communicate that to your husbands. And to be honest with you, we need to communicate these things to each other in the body of Christ at whatever level our relationships are. You're my brother. You're my sister in Christ. I am so glad that you are. I hope I communicate to you that I am so glad that each and every one of you are a part of this body of believers as we seek to serve the Lord together. And I love you, and you are valuable to me. And we all need to communicate that to one another. You know, this gets to the root of the most basic emotional needs that every single one of us have. And I believe God created us that way so that we would seek a relationship with Him and so that we would seek healthy relationships with others, that need to belong, that need to be loved, and that need to be valued or to be praised. They're deep within us. I want to encourage you. When we leave this place in a little while, oh, here it is. Couldn't find my watch. Wherever you are, and you may feel like, I do a pretty good job at that. I'll be honest, I think I do a pretty good job. But I'll be the first to admit, there's ways I can improve. And I just challenge you this Father's Day, not to let it become heavy because you need to celebrate Father's Day. But to say, how can I better communicate these things to the people I love and care about? As fathers, how can I communicate this better to my children? To my grandchildren. Same thing as a mother, as a spouse. You may need to make some new habits. You may need to change the way you do some things. Again, I'm not telling you to lie. We need to learn to speak the truth in love, to find the positive and emphasize that. I'm not telling you to ignore any weaknesses in their life, in their behavior, in their character, in their habits. Again, if they're under our authority and in our home, we have responsibility to help them with those things. I'm not telling you to ignore or approve of sin or destructive behavior or a lifestyle. As was very, very clearly proclaimed last night, and as I have tried to proclaim to you, that God's attitude is to hate sin but love the sinner. And we welcome and accept without approving that which is not right. That needs to be true of all of our relationships. This morning I was sitting in my office. Nobody else had gotten here yet. I was going over my notes and preparing the PowerPoint that's on the screen. And I got a phone call. It was from my youngest daughter out in Washington. And it's 3 hours earlier there, so it's about 5:20 in the morning. She said, I woke up and I wanted to let you know I love you and wish you a happy Father's Day. She says, you're the best daddy in the world. She was speaking all these things over me. That meant so much to me. And I told her, not just because I was working on this sermon. She has no idea. I had no idea I was working on this sermon. But I tell her this in different ways. I said, I want you to know, I'm so glad you're my daughter. I love you and I'm proud of you. She says, Daddy, you're going to make me cry. I sit at my desk about ready to cry, like I am now. Those words, if they're real, they mean something. And we need to communicate them. Now let me give you one other piece of advice there. Don't just tell them personally. That's most important. But when there's opportunity, tell them in public. Let other people know that, hey, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my granddaughter. I'm so glad they are. I love them, and they're very, very important to me. Now be very, very careful, especially your grandparents, because sometimes you can be really obnoxious talking about your grandkids. And we all know that I have the best grandkids in the world, so that settles that. I don't want to be obnoxious. It means a lot to tell them in person, but it means a lot to know that they're willing, that you're willing to say that in public. That you're proud of your kids. You love them. They're valuable to you. So don't hesitate to do that. And let me just say that this is when God wants us to communicate to our world. As individuals, as we have opportunity to talk with people and say, you know what, God loves you. He wants you to be His child. He's made you valuable. As a church, this is the message we want to communicate to our world. Yes, we've got to include the fact that sin is a barrier and we need to repent of our sin. But ultimately, God loves all human beings. He created each one of them unique. And He wants a unique relationship with them. And you may be here today and you don't have a relationship with God. And God loves you dearly. But God is a holy God. And our sin, I say our sin, not your sin. Our sin separates us from God. Because of the choices we've made. But God loves us so much, He sent Jesus to die on the cross that our sins could be forgiven. I want to tell you something. We talked about how God communicated this to Jesus and how we need to communicate it to our kids. But I want to end with this, and that is that God wants each and every one of you to know that this is how He feels towards you. Especially for those of you today, and this is for all of us, but for those of you today that perhaps did not have a good experience with your earthly father. If you have a relationship with God, this is how He feels towards you. God wants you to know, I love you. He says in John 3:16, probably the most quoted verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. You might say, well, He's talking about the whole world. Take the world out of there and put your name in there. And God means that. For God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God wants you to know that you are valuable to Him. You are valuable to Him. You are His beloved child. Same verse. For God so loved the world. And God created you, and you are so valuable to Him that He was willing to send His Son Jesus. And Jesus came willingly. He didn't force Him. He was willing to pay the ultimate price so that your sin could be forgiven. And you can have a relationship with Him. You are valuable to your Heavenly Father. There's a passage that's much quoted, and it's really God's promise to His people in the Old Testament specifically. But the principles are true for all of God's kids. In Jeremiah 29:11, He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. You are valuable to God. And in the story that Jesus told, there's a statement that I believe that God wants to be able to tell all of us when we stand before Him one day. A lot of it comes down to what we do with what He's given us and how we live out our lives. But God wants to be able to tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. But can I tell you that whether you've done well in this life or not, if you have a relationship with God, you're still valuable to Him. And the last thing that God wants to communicate is, you are mine. Now, God can't communicate that to everybody. I hate to say that. sometimes you hear people say, well, God's the Father of us all. And God is not the Father of us all. God wants to be the Father of us all. You see, God is the Creator of all, but not the Father of all. And if you've always believed that, I hate to shatter you and say, I don't know if I believe you, Pastor. Well, let me just read to you from God's Word. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, yet to all who received Him, Jesus Christ, to those who believed in His name, that means to believe in who Jesus is, who He claimed to be, what He came to do, and you're putting your trust, that's what belief is. It isn't just, I believe He existed, I believe He was real. It means I'm putting my trust in who He is and what He did. To those who believed in His name, God gave the right to become the children of God. You see, God is only Father to those who's chosen Him as Father. Not just because they say, I want God to be my Father. But to those who say, I know that there's a problem between me and God. And God took care of it through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to trust in Him. And what He did. And what He paid upon the cross that my sins could be forgiven. And God, I am so sorry for my sin. And I want to be right with You. And I thank You that You took care of it through Jesus Christ. So God wants to say, you are mine. But really that comes down to you and how you respond to that. If we could stand together, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And if our prayer team would come to the front, we're going to conclude the service in just a couple of moments. But as I said, we're going to sing that song one more time. You're a good, good Father. And I just encourage you as we wrap up this service for Father's Day that you make that an act of worship of saying, God, I am so glad that You're my Father. I'm so glad that You love me and You are not ashamed of me and You are proud to claim me as Your own and I'm valuable to You. But there's a number of ways we can apply this message. Let me go through that real quick. Fathers, communicate these things to your kids. Children, you need to communicate these things to your father. It meant so much for my daughters to communicate that to me this morning. We need to communicate it to each other. Communicate them to all the significant people in your life. And I want you to leave this place in a couple of moments confident that this is how your Heavenly Father feels about you. And the last thing is if you don't know God as your Heavenly Father, come to know Him that way before you leave today. We're going to sing this song. We're going to worship. If you need prayer for anything, healing, relationship, finances, whatever, we would love to pray with you. If you're here today and you do not know God as your Heavenly Father, we would love to talk to you and pray with you about that too. So let's sing this song together. Let's worship together. Let's seek God together. And then we're going to leave here in a few moments to celebrate Father's Day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marionoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marion Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.